My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Brat. He represents the Old Dominion's 7th Congressional District, and he joins me now to discuss reports that there may well be progress towards a Republican health care bill that can actually pass the House of Representatives and get the ball rolling not only on repeal and replace, but also much more of the president's agenda. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, Greg, great to be on. Thank you.
The reports are that Vice President Pence in particular has been negotiating with Chairman Meadows of the House Freedom Caucus and perhaps some other conservatives on the Hill in an effort to get to the point where the American Health Care Act can pass or some bill can pass that can get the ball rolling here. What do you know about those negotiations and what specifically they involve?
Yeah, well, we've had very good negotiations. And for the folks that, you know, don't know that much about the process, a bill was put forward and we had about a 3-week time crunch that was kind of artificially imposed. Everyone kind of admits that now. And so at the end of that process, we were already making some good headway. We met with President Trump himself. He okayed a lot of the regulatory pieces that we wanted. And based on what he said, we thought we were at a yes. And then it got mulled around and kicked around on Capitol Hill, and it turned into a no somehow. And no one's quite clear on that one. And so then we came back again, met with Vice President Pence a couple times. And out of the White House, he made a great compromise, which is just seems common sense. And it runs along conservative lines, and it's just to go the states route and let moderate or liberal states keep the elements of Obamacare they like, let conservative states take the regs out to lower prices the way they see fit that matches their population. And that and a couple other smaller pieces were put in play by the vice president. And we were yes on that package. And we said, put it in writing. And I think we're at a yes. And that bounced around the Hill a little in a short run and ended up, we devolved into this dialogue about a seesaw, right, where, well, if you pick up some conservatives, you might lose some moderates or whatever.
Did that language ever get in the bill, Congressman, what you just mentioned? Because I know there was the one manager's amendment, but there's been some confusion as to whether some of the things that you were promised right towards the lead up to that vote, whether that actually got added to the bill. What's the reality there?
That hasn't ever been delivered in print yet. But that's what there's negotiations going on with all the subgroups now. And that's why I kind of started off with a 3-week artificial timeline. It's hard to manage 1/6 of the economy in 3 weeks, right? And that's a little cynicism talking from a former economist. And so we're doing the best we can. None of us really like the free market types. We don't like we're navigating within a federal structure that maintains the basic structure and architecture of Obamacare in the first place. And we've compromised on basically a mini entitlement program with the refundable tax credits that conservatives don't really like. We've okayed pre-existing conditions all the way along. And there's just been misinformation and misreporting out there. The Wall Street Journal editorial board almost seems to be intent on providing misinformation. Not only are we okay with pre-existing conditions, we're okay with a $120 billion pot for high-risk pools for pre-existing conditions, and then we're okay with the main experiment language of Schweikert and Palmer and Andy Harris, which also helps the pre-existing condition and then is kind of been applauded by everyone for reducing prices of health care and providing more coverage. And so, you know, we've been compromising on all this stuff, trying to get to yes, but we weren't satisfied initially. CBO had scored that our bill, prices would still go up 15% to 20% through 2020. And it's just common sense. There's too many regulations that stay in place from Obamacare. Right now, a kid can't go out and buy a cheap insurance policy, right? Everybody knows that. And we want to get back to the days when insurance companies can still do insurance again. And the bill was polling at about 17%, and we think we can do much better. And so I think we're making progress on all that. And now Vice President Pence's proposal, we just had to fine-tune that and find out, you know, exactly what regulations do all groups feel okay with at the state's level where they can opt out. And I think, you know, it's that hard, meticulous detail work that takes some time. But I think we're making good progress on it. And we've always thought we could work together with the conference, given time to get some wins. We met with a MD from Harvard, Avik Roy, who's, you know, a genius in policy, and he's got proposals which both expand coverage and reduce price at the same time. And so, I mean, if you provide win-wins and someone says no to a win-win with no downside, we're a little dumbfounded, but we're trying to get to yes. We're at a yes on several of the proposals. And so I'm fairly optimistic that week after we get back or so, I'm hoping for some good news.
We're talking with Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Brad. And sir, one of the things that you have to deal with, in addition to trying to get to 218 in the House and to 50+1 in the Senate, is how the media covers what you would like to see happen in this bill. Because we talked before about dialing back the mandatory coverage to be a legitimate plan to cover everything under the sun for every plan, for you and me getting maternity coverage, for example, which is what's right on the books right now. But when that gets reported, when it's no longer mandatory, the media will report that the Republicans no longer want this to be covered. They saw it with hospitalization and all sorts of other things. And so when you talk about perhaps allowing insurance companies to charge sick people more than healthy people for their premiums, you get demonized. So how do you fight back on that?
Yeah, well, that's right. The media, that has been the major challenge. And the point you just raised, in terms of a solution, we have the high risk pool is the solution there, because 5% of the folks with pre-existing conditions of a serious nature are 50% of the cost, the healthcare costs in the country. And so they can't get insurance. And so Obamacare's failure was that it just focused on insurance coverage. It never focused on price. And that's why you have death spirals, because people's premiums are going up 30% and the insurance companies can't stay in business. But the real issue when it comes to the press has to do with the narrative over 7 years. At first, it was just repeal Obamacare. We had votes. We also were going to repeal Obamacare. And it's in the Republican platform, I might remind people. Right? As time goes by, you remember the obvious. And then it was you're going to repeal and replace Obamacare with free market solutions and HMOs and all this. So we always thought we were going to end up in a pretty good shape with some, you know, competition across state lines and HSAs and some free market innovation and price discovery and transparency so people could shop for healthcare products and know what they're paying for. And then we had a bill put before us, which is way too much federal government oriented for my taste, and 3 weeks to deal with it. And so some of us weren't so happy with that product. But we also want to keep the Trump agenda going on, and we realize you need tax revenues to do tax reform coming up in short order. And so we want to get to yes, but it's got to be plausible and reasonable. And so that it's been very hard. The press very rarely goes after moderates, right? And so I think it's been well reported. There were a certain number of House Freedom Caucus folks that were a no vote, but it wasn't unanimous. There were way more moderates who were going to do a jailbreak once the board got to 20 and not report it at all. And so it's not a blame game. It's just, let's just tell the truth out there in public so we can get to a solution. You got to know the truth before you can find the good policy options.
You said you're optimistic that the House can get this done in a week or so, perhaps after you get back. Do you think the Senate's in position to go along as well?
Yeah, well, that's always part of the debate as well. And I think after they've seen, you know, how torturous this process is, I think they realize that when our bill comes over, the bill better come back very close to how we send it over. Right. So if there's some major rewrite on the Senate side, then it's, you know, business as usual. And we've got to do better. President Trump is a great negotiator. He was doing everything he could to get to yes, and he gave us ways to get to yes. And then Vice President Pence, same thing. And so we've got everybody on board, but if we don't get to a yes, I'll be dumbfounded as to where the no is, right? And so people get jittery, but we voted 50 times for repeal and replace when it didn't count. And so now it's really incumbent on us to keep our promise. And this is not really a repeal, but we are compromising. And so that's the compromise. And we've worked in good faith to get there. And then the House Freedom Caucus, it's like we're to blame for, you know, global warming, et cetera, lately. You just make it up. And the conservative members, ironically, in the conservative conference, right, you would think we'd be the tip of the spear arguing for Adam Smith and James Madison and smaller federal government, and would be building some points for all those things that made this country great in the first place. But I've had very intelligent people say, just forget about it. Just vote yes on that bill and move on because we want tax reform. And I'm like, are you serious? It's 1/6 of the entire economy, and just dispatch it, right? This is a once-in-a-century opportunity we have with the House and the Senate and the White House. So this isn't really the time to do marginal, you know, small little adjustments. This is the time to get your first principles right and set up an economy and a healthcare system that our kids will flourish under. And so that's what we're doing. And I think we're going to at least make some small inroads in that way. And then in tax reform, I think everybody's pretty bullish about what we can accomplish there.
That real quick follow-up on that, do you feel like you're getting closer to a final product there? Does it depend on what happens with health care? What's the attitude on tax reform right now?
Yeah, and so, you know, there's $1 trillion coming out of the tax, out of the health care proposal that will find its way into the tax reform package. And so that's part of it. But I think the biggest part of it, and everybody knows it, it has to do with this border adjustable debate that's going on internally. And so that, you know, the big exporter manufacturers love it. The importers, you know, Dollar Trees and Best Buys and Walmarts that import and have a supply chain externally don't like it. And so there's going to be a little battle on that. The first two legs of the stool for tax reform are no-brainers, right? I mean, the rate reductions, corporate rate reductions will lead to just an instantaneous boost in the economy and then instant expensing. Instead of depreciating over 20 or 30 years, you get to take instant expensing in year one. That'll put cash in the hands of entrepreneurs, small business startups. And so both of those pieces are just no-brainers. And then in reconciliation, you got to pay the bill. And so that of course, is where, you know, the heavy lifting will be. And I think people are going to, you know, compromise on these issues as well, because this piece is just absolutely essential. If we don't get the economy moving again at full speed, a lot of the other objectives are hard to achieve. And so I think we can do it all if we stay true to Republican principles. Right. In Virginia, we have the Republican creed, adherence to the free market system, rule of law, fiscal responsibility, constitution, strong defense, faith in God and ethics. Those are the things that have made us great throughout our history, and we've stuck to them. And so now we need more than ever, right, the federal government. We just had an election. Trump won to clean the swamp. And so we need to downsize the role of the federal government, not increase it. And so we're trying to get that right.
Last topic for you, at least, Congressman. The media, the Democrats right now say, hey, a close special election in Kansas means that folks, even in the Republican Party, aren't happy with what's happening in Washington. The fact that a Democrat almost avoided a runoff in Georgia means the same thing. We see disruptive town halls, a lot of chatter out there about disillusioned Trump voters and so forth. What are you seeing in your district? What are you hearing from your own constituents right now?
My district. I mean, I kind of had a big election a couple years back, so I think we've sorted out where we stand, and it pretty much is along the Republican creed I just lit through. People want us to stand on principle, to announce our principles ahead of time, to run on them, and then vote when we get up to D.C. like we talk when we're running. And so in the other states, I mean, I think, you know, the Republicans, we just won the big presidential election. And so we are trying to govern now and get policy through. The Democrats are upset. You have all these groups, Indivisible and Resist, that are going around with the cards and booing at town halls. And they're highly energized. They're upset. And I've had my Democratic friends, they tell me, look, we're ticked off. We got lazy. We thought Hillary is going to win. We're ticked off. We're going to take it out on you. And so they're highly energized and ready to go still politically. And so, you know, they're still getting people to the polls and energizing, and we Republicans better wake up and realize the politics isn't done yet. And so we're governing, we're up there working hard, but you got to also do politics simultaneously. And so that's how I view most of that.
Full-time job, to be sure. Policy and politics. Congressman, always great to have you breaking it down for us. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Greg, thank you. You bet.
Thank you, sir. Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt represents his state's 7th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.